Yeah, Amos chapter 7. The Dociles, the ones that Alan was reading their letter, they'll be here next month in mid-month. They were on not deputation, furlough a couple years ago when Harvey came through, and they were supposed to come in then, but man, the timing was really bad. And the roads were closing about that time, and it's just we decided to postpone it. So they'll be here next month. Give us an update on Peru. Amos chapter 7. We're going to talk about the plumb line this morning, verses 7 through 9. But this comes in a context, and the whole chapter is a sermon. Part of chapter 7, 8, and 9 are, I think, one sermon. But I'll read the verses we're going to look at to deal with this plumb line, and then we'll go through and deal with the context of it. Amos chapter 7 and verse 7. The Bible says, "Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand, and the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not pass by them anymore. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword." All right, this before we pray, the picture is pretty simple. I mean, a plumb line, if I think most of you know what a plumb line is, but if you don't, it's a weight tied to a string, and essentially it measures whether a thing is crooked or whether it's straight. And the idea is you take crooked things and you either make them straight or you knock them down. And so the picture is Amos sees the Lord standing on a wall that was made by a plumb line. I don't know if the wall is still according to that plumb line, but he's definitely going to put that plumb line in the midst of his people, and everything that's crooked will be knocked down. And that's the idea. Of course, then he mentions the king there at the end, the king Jeroboam, and then he's going to get in real trouble later on in the chapter for saying that. But, I mean, it's true. The Lord is going to put a plumb line there. Now, the whole illustration is this. This is a prophecy of Jesus Christ, and it will be, this is 800 years before Jesus Christ is born in Bethlehem, but as you know, Jesus Christ, when he was born, that wasn't the first time he existed. He had been around, he's God. And so this is a good, if you want to say, a messianic prophecy, but we'll see that as we go on here. But let's pray and get some of the context to this and deal with this plumb line and how it really applies. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. Thank you for your words this morning. I thank you for each soul that's here. Lord, I pray that we could get what we need from you. I pray that you'd feed your flock. I pray that if there's anyone lost here, that, Father, today would be the day of their salvation. They would understand very clearly their need for Jesus Christ and their sin before a holy God, and Father, that they trust Jesus Christ to save them. Lord, I pray and for his righteousness to become their righteousness, and for Lord, even for us as Christians, for those that are saved here that have trusted Jesus Christ and have obtained the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, Lord, I beg you please to help us understand our sin. Help us understand the meanings of these words, and Lord, what's illustrated here and how it can be applied to our lives. Thank you again for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the privilege to be in the ministry and to preach. And Lord, thank you for each soul that's here. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, what you just read, the plumb line, is it's the third vision here that Amos has. Go back to, you're in Amos chapter 7, go back to to verse 1. It says, thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, he formed grasshoppers. And we dealt with that last week, I think, talking about intercessory prayer and Amos interceding. In verses 4 through 6, it's the same thing. Amos is interceding again, but it says in verse 4, thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire. So he's got a couple of things the Lord showed him. But notice at the end of each of these little visions, I guess you could say, what the Lord's showing him. At the end of verse 2, there's a question. It says, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. Notice at the end of verse 5, it says, then said in verse 5, then said I, O Lord God, cease, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. And said, the Lord repented for this. This also shall not be, saith the Lord. So the question Amos had was, Lord, if you contend with and if you continue to destroy or to if you're going to make an end of Israel, who can stand? Who's going to be the arbiter of all this judgment? Who can we look to? I mean, we're all under the same condemnation here. There's no one to stand in our place. So the question each time after he's shown something is, by whom shall Jacob stand? And then he gets this vision of the plumb line. And it says in verse 7, thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. All right, this I'm going to give you three things in these three verses that deal with this plumb line. Now, I'm going to say this about Jesus Christ. The prophecy is of Jesus Christ. However, you've never seen Jesus Christ. You and I can't live our lives by our physical understanding or physically seeing Jesus Christ. The only way you understand Jesus Christ is by this standard. There's no other way. It's not by visions, it's not by dreams, it's not by bad pizza or whatever. It's you don't understand Jesus Christ apart from this book. And so, I mean, there are other books that mention Jesus Christ. You could get a Quran, for instance, that mentions Jesus Christ, but that's not Jesus Christ. You could get various books, probably at half-price books, and they talk about the real Jesus and stuff like that. None of those are the standard. This is where you get your information from Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is found in your Bible. That's where he's found. So, and I say that because people can say, yeah, we believe in Jesus, but we don't like some of this stuff. Well, you don't have the option of picking what kind of Jesus you like. You're given who Jesus Christ is through this. Okay, so when Amos sees this vision of the plumb line, let's get back to the plumb line. I thought I'd mention all that stuff because it's going to talk about Jesus Christ, but you got to have a way to understand who Jesus Christ is. All right, the first thing about a plumb line, Amos sees the Lord standing on a wall made by a plumb line. Notice two things about the Lord in this. In verse 7, notice how the Lord is spelled. It's capital L, lowercase O-R-D. Then notice in verse 8 how the Lord is spelled. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. You know what you have? You've got the Father, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, and the Son, lowercase L-O-R-D. So you've got the Lord, it's the Lord, but you've got two manifestations you've got the Father speaking about the Son, and so it's again 800 years before Jesus Christ shows up in the flesh, but you can see there's two different people here. I mean, two persons. They're both the Lord, though. I don't know how to explain that, but there's a difference there. Now he puts the plumb line into the midst of his people. And the idea is he's going to knock down whatever is crooked in the midst of his people. So here's a couple things about a plumb line. The plumb line is the standard used to build. That was what he said in verse 7. He said, Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line. So the thing was constructed by this plumb line. It's the standard measurement by which building would occur. Now, I'm gonna jump back and forth and apply these things real quickly. That plumb line is the standard measurement by which to build. In the New Testament, what you're going to find is Jesus Christ is the measurement by which God builds. He says it in Ephesians. He says, according to the measure of Christ. All right, so I'm going to make some application real quickly here. So the plumb line is the standard used to build. Plumb line is the right standard. Lord stands on a wall built by a plumb line. He's measuring the wall with the plumb line. Maybe even the wall is crooked to judge how crooked it had become. But the Lord would set that standard, and the plumb line, it's the right standard. Something else about the plumb line is old. It's not a new technology. It's old. Been used for, I don't know, however long men been building, I suppose. It's old. It's when Jesus Christ shows up, the Bible says his goings forth have been from of old. It's not new technology necessarily. It's an old standard. Plumb line is simple. Plumb line, and just about the old thing, you know, you got to be careful of new stuff. Just stuff that hasn't been tested and tried. You got to be careful of just new stuff. Plumb line is old. The plumb line is simple. It's not complicated. It doesn't take a genius to figure out how to use it. It's a simple tool. You know what Jesus Christ is? The Bible says in Corinthians, the simplicity in Jesus Christ. Simple. You hang the weight down, it hangs up here, it's connected up here, it's not connected on the ground. In fact, if it's connected to the ground, the whole thing doesn't work. And we'll deal with that in just a minute too. But it's an old tool. It's a simple tool. It's necessary. Now, you could build something by just eyeing it. But you might have trouble building it. And it may not withstand what it needs to withstand if you just try to eye it. You know, I'm sure none of you have any experience with this, but you're building something that, you don't really... You just need to put something up real quick. And so you just kind of eye the thing and just, you know, this here, this here, this here. And you're not really measuring the straight things. And man, a while back I built this, it's just a little house for the water well, you know. And, you know, I just like knock it out in a couple hours or whatever, just get it done. So I built this, set it up, got it, and I stepped back. Looked at it. It's kind of like, you know, this ain't gonna work. One wind and this thing will topple. Anyway, so I got to straighten it out. Point is, you can eye something. You know what people do with their lives? They just eye it. Just, you know, I think it's this way, without any reference to what God thought about it. It's just like, you know, I think it's this way. Well, my life goes this way. I mean, this is what I think about this. And they just kind of eye the thing instead of, what does the Lord say? He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And what? Lean not unto thine own understanding. Quit eyeing the thing. You don't see as good as you think you see. And furthermore, your eyes will play tricks on you. You'll think you see something that you didn't see. I mean, your ears will do the same thing. You think you hear something you didn't hear. And so you've got to have, and I've got to have, and Israel was going to be measured according to a standard. And it wasn't just eyeing the thing. It wasn't just, we'll just take a look at this thing and figure out how it relates to our life. No, what we're going to do is relate our lives to the standard of life. We're going to take, the Lord's going to take Israel's culture, Israel's way of doing things, and match it up to the standard. And everywhere it didn't meet the standard, it was crooked. Now, you and I may not think that, but that's the illustration here. If it's not matching up to the standard, you say, well, we just kind of had an accident there. You know, it's just this. And the Lord says, no, that's not unintentional. That's crooked. It doesn't match the measurements. It doesn't stand vertical. It's crooked. Plumb line, it's necessary to build. I'll give you another one. Plumb line works everywhere. Everywhere. You go anywhere in this world and build by a plumb line. It works everywhere. In the New Testament, in Acts, the Bible says, therefore, that they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. You know, that is something that is so fascinating to me about the Bible. You can take God's words and you can take them to China. You can take them to Thailand. You can take them to Germany. You can take them to Iceland. You can take them anywhere. And you know what? That's the standard. And it works everywhere. Everywhere. You can take these words of God into a nursing home, and you can take them into a nursery. You can take these words of God and you can apply them to someone who's getting married. You can apply them to someone who's parenting children. You can apply them to any stage in life. You know what the standard does? It just works everywhere. There's not a place that doesn't work. Plumb line, it's necessary. It works everywhere. And it works for everyone. Everyone. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. You know what those whosoevers are? That's whoever. The plumb line works anywhere, and it works for anybody. It's a standard that is not limited. So here's the first thought. When Amos is shown the standard here, he's shown a standard that the Lord's holding. The Lord is holding the standard. He's going to measure his people by this standard. And so he's going to set that standard in the midst of his people. And anything that doesn't match that standard will be judged crooked. So here's the next thought. The plumb line is the standard that originates with the Lord. You notice who has that standard in these verses. Verse 8, it says, and the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people. All right, here's the thought of this. Righteousness is not determined by what you think about righteousness. Righteousness, judgment, you know, this is what you ask folks about salvation. You ask them about going to heaven. You ask them about trusting Jesus Christ. Where are you going when you die? Things like that. Are your sins forgiven? And sometimes the answer is, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. I think. Okay. Well, everyone thinks that. Maybe not about you, but everyone thinks that about themselves. The problem is, you're not the standard, and you're not the judge. So you've got to match the judge's standard. So when you show up in court, if you show up in court, the judge is the one that's going to measure out the law, and it's the law is not what you thought of yourself. That's not a standard for anything. That doesn't hold water anywhere except maybe within our own minds. What do I think of myself? Well, I think I'm a pretty good person. Well, congratulations. Everyone else in the world thinks that they're a pretty good person. But that's not the standard. Notice the standard originates with the Lord. Measurement is from in a plumb line. You measure something from the top and you drop that thing down. You know where righteousness came from? It didn't come from the earth up. It wasn't built up to God. You don't build up your good works or your portfolio of good works and show it to God, because righteousness didn't originate with you. Judgment doesn't originate with me. It started up here, and he dropped the thing down to see what was crooked and what was straight. Plumb line is the standard that originates with the Lord. Righteousness originates with God, not man. Plumb line doesn't work from the ground up. It works from the top down. And if you're going to get righteousness, you're going to have to get God's righteousness in Jesus Christ. Righteousness, Paul said it this way. He said, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets," witnessed by them. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. The plumb line measures from top down and originates with God. It originates up high. And notice how the plumb line works. You think about this. How does the plumb line work? Plumb line works by being connected up here and being disconnected down here. Isn't that interesting? What does he say? Set your affections on where? Things above. What does he say about the world? Love not the world. You know how a plumb line works? It's connected up here and it's disconnected down here. You know what happens if it's connected down here? It's no longer a standard. You can't measure anything by it. What happens if it's disconnected up here? Not a standard. Can't measure anything by it. The way it works is it's connected up here and it hangs around down here, but it's not connected down here. Plumb line is a standard that works by its connection above and disconnection from below. We mentioned it at the beginning here. The Bible says of people who believe in Jesus Christ, right now, if you're here, you trust Jesus Christ. The Bible says you walk by faith and not by sight. Going back to that illustration, you don't see Jesus Christ. You trust the words of God to tell you who Jesus Christ is. In fact, do a little bit of exploring here. If you saw Jesus Christ, it wouldn't tell you anything about him that would make your life better. The reason he wrote a book is to explain his characteristics to you. That makes sense? If you see a picture of Jesus Christ, by seeing the physical image, that doesn't help your heart. God wrote a book to explain things because you and I need explanation. We don't need to look at a picture or look at him, and I'll be glad one day when I see him. But just see, if you were in the presence of Jesus Christ looking at his physical body, it wouldn't make you any better than these words are going to make you. He gave you and I his words. And in fact, Paul said it this way. He asked the question in Romans chapter 3. He said, what was the advantage of Israel? I think we talked about this a little bit on Wednesday. What was the advantage of Israel? And he says, the chief advantage of Israel was that they had the oracles of God. That was the biggest advantage Israel had in this world, was they had God's words. Now the problem was, you got God's words. If you have them, if you don't do anything with them, they don't advantage you in any way. There's no benefit to them. But Israel's advantage was they had the words of God. All right, I heard a preacher say it this way. He said, you know how I know the Book of Mormon is not of God? Because Joseph Smith isn't a Jew. You know how Mary Baker Eddy and Jehovah's Witness, the not the Watchtower, but the what is their New Testament thing? The not the pamphlet, but the book. Anyway, World Translation, the New World Translation. Yeah, you know, it's not the Word of God. She wasn't a Jew. I mean, that's just a basic one. There's some other ways, but the oracles of God were committed to the Jews. That was their chief advantage in this world. Now, we sit here, come to Bible is on the name of the church. Believe the Bible. Hopefully you believe the Bible. Parts you don't believe, you start to believe. But having a Bible doesn't advantage you if you don't believe it or do it. So we walk by faith, not by sight. The connection is up here, and that's how that plumb line works. Connected up here, disconnected down here. I mean, it hangs around down here, but it's not connected. And if it's connected, it's no longer a standard. Plumb line is a standard that works by its connection above and disconnection from below. Set your affections on where? Things above. As far as the world's concerned, love not the world. These are the things that are in. Then this, in Amos chapter 7, verse 9, a plumb line determines what needs to be removed. What needs to be removed? Verse 9, he says, "And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate." The high places of Isaac. Okay, what does that mean? That's all the exalted things. All the commercial centers that are in Isaac. Isaac being, he's talking about the land, he's talking about the people. The exalted things in Isaac will be measured according to this standard. They'll be measured according to this. He said, "And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate." Why? Because they're crooked. According to the standard, they're crooked. The high places of Isaac, he said, shall be desolate. All the commercial centers, all the towers, high places. And then he says this in verse 9, "And the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste." Sanctuaries. Sanctuaries. You know what we're in right now? It's a sanctuary. It's what it's called. A sanctuary. So he's not only going to measure the economic and the exalted places in Isaac. Now he's going to measure the worship centers. The sanctuaries are going to be put to this measurement. And the sanctuaries that don't meet and match this measurement will be considered crooked, and he'll just knock them down. The houses of worship, and if you remember, I mean, we've been going through Amos, and for those visiting, we just go through books of the Bible. I mean, that's what we've been doing. We just go through books of the Bible. Sunday school, we're going through Matthew. Here, we go through Amos. Tonight, we'll go through Psalms. Wednesday, we're going through Philippians, and we just go through books of the Bible. I think it's the best way to learn the Bible. Instead of jumping all around and trying to piece the thing together, just go through it by books. He said this, "High places of Isaac shall be desolate, the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste." Everything that, like we said in Sunday school, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God will be put down. Why? Because it will be considered crooked. And not only will it be considered crooked, it will be crooked. It is crooked according to the standard. Sanctuaries would be laid waste. That's churches. That's worship centers full of idols. And going through Amos, you remember, everything in Bethel revolved around idolatry. The whole thing was set up to replace worship in Jerusalem. The whole thing was set up as idol worship. So the people wouldn't go to Jerusalem. They would stay in Bethel. And so the whole thing was set up around idolatry. And now here you have a couple hundred years later, the whole culture revolves around this. And the Lord says, I'm putting a standard. I'm going to drop that plumb line in the midst of this thing, and everything that's crooked is going to be knocked down. And then he says says this about the king. Verse 9 at the end. He says, "And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword." Say, who's Jeroboam? Jeroboam's the king. He's the king. The king and his house would, I mean, this prophecy comes true immediately. The king and his house would come under the sword. Jeroboam's son, this king's son, would reign in Israel for 6 months and then would be publicly assassinated after it. Amos said, this is going to happen to your house. The Lord's going to drop a plumb line here, and everything that's crooked is going to be knocked down. And then he mentions the king here. Now the king's going to get onto him for being politically incorrect. You know, you're against. You say things that don't fit in our country. You can't say stuff like that. Well, it was true, and it is true. So he lays that plumb line. The high places of Isaac will be desolate. The sanctuaries of Israel laid waste. The house of Jeroboam be taken with the sword. And so he would determine whether it's crooked, and that plumb line would determine what needs to be removed and what can stay. And that's what it determines. You set that plumb line up, and it determines, does this thing need to be knocked down or does this thing need to be made straight? The whole point is, if it's crooked, you got to change it. You either make it straight or you knock it down. Now watch this. I told you this prophecy is about Jesus Christ. Watch this. Look in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. Isaiah 40 and verse 3. When Jesus Christ shows up, the prophecy that accompanies his public ministry. Isaiah 40 and verse 3, John the Baptist preaches this one. Watch this. Remember, a plumb line is what determines what's crooked, right? Isaiah 43, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make what? Straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now you got two things going on here. I wanted to show you the association of the plumb line with this prophecy in the coming of Jesus Christ, the first coming. Now, in that prophecy, you got two comings. You've got his first coming, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway. That's John the Baptist preaching. But then you have all the earth seeing his glory. That's the second coming. You got two things going on there, but the point is that plumb line, making crooked things straight or just destroying things that are crooked. When Amos sees this thing and preaches to Israel and preaches to the folks in Bethel, says God's going to drop a plumb line in here. Remember, he had asked, by who is Jacob going to rise? And the answer came, the Lord. I saw the Lord on a wall built by a plumb line. And so he's answering the question, by who? How is this going to be built? How is Jacob going to arise out of this? Well, it will be built according to the measure of Jesus Christ. Now, I understand that there is some immediate things that happen with Amos. It's not all about far into the future. Like I said, Jeroboam's house does get destroyed. And the standard was always the Word of God. Whether back then, whether now, it was always the Word of God. And so everything would be measured according to the Word of God. Now, here's some application. In this illustration of a plumb line, the whole point of this to show what's crooked and what's straight. When the Lord lays that plumb line in this nation, in this county, in this city, in your household, what does he find in it that's crooked? When he lays this plumb line, and he drops this thing down. He drops, Jesus Christ is the measure, and you know Jesus Christ through these words. And when he drops this measure down into your lap and starts to find out things that are crooked, you say, well, it's not really my fault. I mean, it's just, you know, these things happen and this thing happens. You know, the only thing that matters in this thing is whether it's straight or crooked. And if it's crooked, it needs to be made straight, or it needs to be knocked down. So he drops this measure here. And he says, everything measured according to this. So you find out, you think about your prayer life. What's crooked in your prayer life? Is there a prayer life? Yeah, do you ever talk to the Lord? Or just when you need stuff? Does it meet up to the measurement of Jesus Christ? We could all say, no, we don't measure up to Jesus Christ. But listen, if you had... It's dangerous to say, no, we don't all measure up to Jesus Christ, so we'll just keep doing what we're doing. You know, if you had a house infested with fleas, you probably wouldn't just say, yeah, we got a bunch of fleas. We'll just, you know, just let it go. You know, it's okay. You'd probably do something about it. You would probably make some kind of a change to correct this thing. I mean, I think you would. If you had a wall falling into your home, I mean, the whole thing is collapsed, and you're just sitting there, and you know there's no TV. Now, if you didn't have a TV, or you didn't have an iPad, you probably do something about that. You know, but I mean, if stuff's falling down around you, and there's some infestation of something, and what I'm saying is, you don't take that attitude towards anything else in your life except your relationship with the Lord. Well, you know, we don't measure up. We'll just kind of do it, you know, whatever. I don't think you take that with anything important to you. I mean, if it's important, you try to fix it. So you drop that standard in your lap. How's the prayer life? How's the being an ambassador for Jesus Christ looking? What's the point of this life? What are we doing here? We just living so we can have another generation that does what we do? Or is there a purpose to this? Of course there's a purpose to this. To be like Jesus Christ. To show people Jesus Christ. That's the standard. That's the measurement. If the Lord dropped the plumb line, and I mean, hopefully we can measure. If the Lord has identified something, your prayer life, whatever it is, if the Lord's identified something, stick with that and say, all right, Lord, I've got to work on that thing. Don't pick a whole bunch of stuff because, you know, we got a whole bunch of stuff we got to work on, and it's a growing process. I understand that. But if the Lord's pointing out something specific in your life that's crooked and doesn't measure up to the Lord Jesus Christ, go to work on it. The point of the plumb line is to get this thing straight. Because if it's not straight, eventually it's just going to get knocked down. How about this? Prayed for folks that may not be saved. How about this question? Are you justified before God, or are you crooked before God? You say, well, I think I'm doing pretty good. Congratulations. We all applaud you. That's good. But are you doing good according to the judge? Are you doing good according to God's standard? That's the question. What is doing good? Well, the first thing of doing good is, he said in John, he said, well, what's the good work? It says, believe on me. That was Jesus Christ. This is the first thing. You're going to have to believe on me. That's where this whole thing starts. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God will give you the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. So when God drops that plumb line, you're not crooked in the way of righteousness. You meet the standard. Why? Because Jesus Christ is your righteousness. You don't have any other righteousness. I mean, I know. A lot of you guys weren't here, but Wednesday night we're talking about that. You know, if anybody could have had the righteousness of God according to the law, that would have been Paul. Paul said, I count the whole thing loss I have worked so hard to achieve my own righteousness, and what I've come to realize, and I found out in Jesus Christ, God was trying to give righteousness to people. In Jesus Christ. How's your prayer life? How's your standing before God? How's your walk with the Lord? How's your affections? How does that, remember the plumb line works by being connected up here and disconnected down there. How's your affections? I mean, everything grabbing at your affection, you know, and you don't have to simplify. Let me simplify this thing as best we can here. In Matthew, Jesus Christ said this: Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know what that is? That is, just make that the first priority. You don't have to spend all day preaching. You don't have to spend all day praying. But make that the first priority that gauges and judges all the other priorities. Just seek Him first. Seek ye first. That's the measure. That's the standard. You don't have to go into full-time ministry and do all or whatever. I mean, the point is, make Him a priority. Make Him the priority and gauge all other priorities around this priority. You know, if you make Jesus Christ, He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that will help you make other decisions in your life. That will help you make decisions about relationships. That will help you make decisions about careers. That will help you make decisions about education. That will help you make all these other decisions. He's the standard. There's not a middle ground where there's a plumb line and then there's this other thing that's not a plumb line, but it's not really sin either. It's just, here's the measurement. Meet up to the measurement. If it's crooked, make it straight. Or knock it down. Maybe it doesn't even need to exist. Maybe that's why it's crooked. When Amos sees this plumb line, I understand you are 800 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. But he sees a prophecy of Jesus Christ. However, the standard, even at this time and now, the standard in Israel has always been the Word of God. Jesus Christ will further reveal. He will be the revelation of God Almighty on this earth. But you're not going to know anything about Jesus Christ apart from this book. The Word of God is the standard. You drop this thing in your life, the plumb line, and what it's going to determine is what's crooked and what's straight. And when it finds out what's crooked, don't make an excuse. Don't say, well, that's because of this, that's because of that. Let the Word of God speak. And like he said, make straight the path. I mean, make what's crooked straight. Or get rid of what's crooked. Maybe it doesn't even need to be there. So here's Amos. He sees this plumb line. I think we've made the point. I think it's understood. That's the standard. That is the standard for building. The plumb line is the standard. I saw the Lord standing. He stood upon a wall made by a plumb line. And that standard originated with God Almighty. And then that standard determines what needs to go and what needs to stay.